How's it going? Man, this is a bunch of hardware here. Well, tonight we're just going to kind of continue. Can you bring these lights down a little bit so I don't get sunburned, Gabe? There, that's good. That's good. That's better. There's just a spot there where you just... it hurts, and then I can see you guys, and I do want to see you guys. Welcome to the Rock Church in Provo. We're doing continuing our series. It's a four-part series called Thank God You're Here, kind of a play off of the comedy program that was on short-lived on TV for a while that was an improv show. And what would happen was they would get these amateur comedians, and they'd bring them, and there'd be a door on one side, and they'd have no idea what was going on the other side of the door. And then they'd step through the door, and they'd improvise. And, you know, if you think about it, isn't that kind of what life is like? I mean, honestly, everything we do, it seems like we need to improvise. Even to come to church here tonight. You guys, maybe this is your first time here, you're thinking, wonder what's on the other side of that door. And now you're here, and now you'll improvise. You'll try to figure out what to do next. So our first topic was forgiveness, and then last week we talked about religion, and tonight we're going to talk a little bit about bigotry, which is just kind of a topical study that we're going to do. We're going to kind of look at some Bible verses that kind of address this, bigotry or prejudice. So with that, let's just kind of get started here. You know, Wikipedia talks about bigotry, definitely has an explanation for bigotry. Let's look what it has to say. A bigot is a prejudiced person who is intolerant of opinions, lifestyles, or identities differing from his or her own. You know, when I first started to research this really felt, I thought, well, you know, this might be something good for our church. Might be something relevant, something that goes on that we're all faced with almost every day. It's bigotry or prejudice. And then I started to look at it, and I thought, oh, my goodness, I'm a bigot. I could pretty easily fall into that category. It's a prejudiced person who's intolerant of opinions. And often in my life, I am. I'm intolerant of certain opinions, lifestyles, or identities differing from mine. I think we can all dangerously just fall into that. And we can judge people, and we can be prejudiced. It goes on to say there's a little history of the word bigotry. The origin of the word bigot in English dates back to at least 1598 via the Middle French and started with the sense of religious hypocrite, especially a woman. And we won't even go there on that. Bigot is often used as a pejorative term against a person who is obstinately, hang with me here, devoted to prejudices, even when these views are challenged or proven to be false. And right there is where I finally felt a little relief for myself. Even when they're challenged or proven to be false. What is the opposite of false? True. So right there I thought, well, you know what? What we're talking about here is truth. It's truth. And that's what we need to talk about tonight. We must reject the malady of bigotry with biblical truth. Malady just means illness or sickness or a blind spot that we might have of bigotry. And I think where we really need to start with this is to look at the opposite of bigotry, which I think, as I researched it, is the second greatest commandment. Jesus was challenged. What are the two greatest commandments? And Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. And the second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There's no commandment greater than these. Love your neighbor as yourself. This leaves no room for bigotry. Love your neighbor as yourself. Leaves no room for bigotry. I like this quote from C.S. Lewis. It says, do not waste your time bothering whether you love your neighbor act as if you did. As soon as we do this, we find one of the great secrets. When you are behaving as if you loved someone, you will presently come to love him. If you injure someone you dislike, you will find yourself disliking him more. If you do to him a good turn, you'll find yourself disliking him less. I think there's a lot of wisdom in that quote. So we're just going to take three questions for self-examination. Am I a bigot? Are you a bigot? You know, let's take a look. Let's see what exactly we're looking at. Is it you? Is it true? Is it God? Those are just the three simple things that I thought about. Is it you? Is it true? Is it God? Is it you? Look in the mirror. Look in the mirror. We need to do a self-check. I need to do a self-check. I did this week. It just, okay, God, you know me. You created me. You know my innermost being. I like this verse Paul writes in Corinthians. Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Jesus is in you? Unless, of course, you fail a test. Examine yourselves to see if you're in the faith. Examine yourselves. And I, at this point, I just think what we need to talk about is what Sean talked about earlier during communion. So the question is, are you a believer or not? Would you pass that test? Are you convinced that you are? So we get to this point where the Bible talks to believers a lot of the time. It also talks to non-believers a lot of the time. But we start off with this, I think we have to settle that matter. We have to settle that matter. And it's really not complicated. It's not complicated at all. We have a holy, just, perfect God, like Sean talked about. We have a perfect God, a holy God. He set up righteous standards for us because he loves us. So he set up the Ten Commandments for us. He set up boundaries. He gave us boundaries. He set up commandments for us. And we, as man on the other side, we fall short in our actions, thoughts, and words. This holy, perfect God is very different than us, than men and women. God created us. God created us. But what happened when sin came into the world through Adam? Now we had sin, and we sin against this holy God, and it causes a separation. And the Bible tells us that for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So we've all sinned. And the wages of sin is death. That's another verse in Romans. For the wages of sin is death. So what we deserve, what you and I deserve for sinning against this holy, perfect God who created us is death. So there's a death penalty owed. We're guilty. We're guilty before this holy God. You and I are. We've fallen short in our actions, thoughts, and words. We lied, blasphemed. The Ten Commandments, we break them. We have broken them. If you don't think you have, you probably lied. But God so loved us that he sent his one and only Son, Jesus Christ, to the earth for us. He sent his one and only Son, Jesus Christ, the only one that could satisfy that death penalty for you and for me. So he took that upon himself. Jesus Christ was God in the flesh. God came into the world. Because he loved us. To take care of that sin problem. He took it all on himself. He died on the cross. Sin was atoned for. It was taken care of. And then he rose 3 days later. Our God is alive. And he has promised you and I eternal life with him. If we would believe that. If we would accept that. That really did happen. And we would believe that as truth. That we ask him into our lives. Like Sean said, he is pursuing us. Everyone on this planet, he is seeking you. He is seeking you. So I would come to this point to whether you believe or not. Well, have you asked this Jesus, this God, into your life? You asked forgiveness for your sins. Have you received it? Have you simply prayed with your mouth, God, help me come into my life? And if you genuinely have done that and prayed to God in your heart and asked him into your life and he's come into your life, then you're a believer. You are saved, the Bible tells us. It's that simple. That's the gospel story. That's why we have this church. That's why we're here. That's the first check, I think. Is it you? Watch for planks. What we can do oftentimes is think that we've got it all together, but everybody else is messed up. Like this verse in Matthew, how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there's a plank in your own eye? Jesus was just explaining that we have to be careful to think that we're so righteous. We have all sinned. We have all fallen. And before we judge others, we are not to judge. Everyone will be judged. So you can just let go of that. If you've been judging a lot of people, you can just let go of it. Everyone will be judged, and we are not to judge. We are not God. But God will take care of that. There will be a judgment day. So I think even, is it you? Is it me? Sometimes we just have to look at ourselves. And we all know the person that says, you know, I met these people and they were, they really tripped me up. And then I met some other people and the same thing happened. It keeps happening. Every time I go somewhere, someone does this to me. Rather than, you know what? If it keeps happening to you, maybe you're the problem. I'm sorry. Maybe you are. Is it you? Be humble. Oh my, it's hard to be humble. It used to be an old country western song. It's hard to be humble when you're perfect in every way. And if you remember that, you probably were at the same bar I was, and I'm sorry. If anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, because we are, he deceives himself. Each one should test his own actions. Then he can take pride in himself without comparing himself to somebody else, someone else. And Paul has to say in Galatians, if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, we get so puffed up. And the world would have us do that. They want us to be puffed up so they can sell us stuff. But God has a way of humbling us, doesn't he? And I've got my share of humbling stories where God put me in a situation where I was humbled. One in particular, I worked at Grand America for quite a while. While they're building that in Salt Lake City, I was working as an electrician, worked there for about a year, or even longer than that I worked there. But for about a year, I took the tracks. I'd ride the tracks from Sandy to Salt Lake City. And I would ride with some other plumbers and electricians and other guys that would ride the tracks as well. But well, it costs money. You have to pay each way. And one night, I forgot to bring money with me, and I forgot to bring my wallet. And I had asked one of my coworkers if he would lend me a dollar so I could ride the tracks home. He said, yeah, no problem. I'll give you a dollar. So without even thinking about it, I just got on the tracks, and everybody else got on the tracks. And we're riding home to Sandy after work and just hanging out. And it stopped at one of the stations, and this guy with the uniform got on the tracks there. And he starts checking for tickets. And I'm thinking, you know, I'm busted. I'm kind of sinking down in my seat, but I thought, you know what? I'll just give him that smile. And I just, you know, I just say, you know, tell him the story about what went on. And so he got to me and he said, do you have a ticket? No, I don't have a ticket. And then I told him some story, like my friend over here was going to give me a dollar. And I just forgot to get it from him. I forgot to buy the ticket. And I was going to buy the ticket when we got to the end. I was going to get the dollar from him. And then I was going to get off the tracks. And I was going to buy the ticket. And then you guys would be paid for. He said, get off the tracks. He said, get off right here. This is where your ride stops. And I was with all my work buddies, and everybody's just snickering and kind of laughing at me and thinking that was pretty funny. And I just kind of hung my head, and I had to get off the tracks a long ways from home and wait for the next one to come. But God has a way of humbling us. And that was my day of humble pie. God will humble you if you don't do it yourself. Well, let's carry on. Is it true? Is it true? I think this is really where the rubber starts meeting the road. Is it true? I like this verse in Proverbs. Truthful lips endure forever, but a lying tongue lasts only for a moment. Are you speaking the truth in everything you do? Am I speaking the truth in everything I do? Or am I embellishing things? And I think there's certain white truths that maybe we try to get away with. Honesty is always what God wants from us. Truthful lips will endure. Is it true? Truth supports itself. For we cannot do anything against the truth, but only for the truth. For we cannot do anything against the truth, but only for the truth. Fight for what is true. Especially in this culture, that's one thing that will always fit. It's one thing that will always free you from any argument, for any disagreement. You can always go to God's truth. This is true. Love your neighbors with truth. Therefore, each one of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor. We are all members of one body. We're all members of one body. We must speak the truth in love. That's what I like about the Bible, is that no matter what happens, I can always go here. And always can be freed by it. I like this verse in Philippians where Paul writes, he says, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think of such things." What is overflowing out of your heart? What is overflowing out of my heart? Hopefully it's truth. Hopefully like a sponge. Hopefully we can be like sponges and we have so much truth in us that God has filled us up with. And when we talk to people and talk with people, we're like a sponge and it flows out of us. Is it true? Meditate on the truth. Find verses from God's Word and get them in your heart. Is it true? Obey. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply from the heart. The truth is the only thing that is going to purify us. From the malady, from the sickness of bigotry. We can have disagreements with different religions, with different religion groups, with different people groups. But it all boils down to whether it's true or not. That was the origin of the word bigotry. Is it true? As long as I'm speaking truth, I don't think it is bigotry. And the one thing that I believe is true is God's Word. And it stands alone and it stands by itself. So no matter what kind of conversation I have with anybody, with my neighbors, with anyone, or anyone who's even a religious zealot, we can talk about the truth. And that's what sets us free. I like this verse in John. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." The truth will set you free. Is it God? Is it God? Now, there comes a question. Lots of people will tell me, "No, God told me to do this," or "God told me to do that." I think that we really need to be careful about when we say that. Or people would tell me, "Thus saith the Lord." You know, there haven't been, you know, I don't think there's been many prophets around for a long time. God did speak to the prophets. But people will tell me, "You know what? I prayed about it. I prayed about this situation or something I was going to do. I prayed about it. And then I'm sitting there waiting for the end. What did he tell you? What did he tell you? Well, I prayed about it." Well, did you just pray at him? Did you just pray at him? Or did you hear from God? And I know one thing for sure. God wouldn't have you do anything that was a sin. You say, "Well, God told me to do this." Well, if it's adultery, if you're having sex, or even if you're in an unhealthy relationship that is a homosexual relationship, I'm sorry, but I love you, but the truth of the Bible tells me that is a sin. If you're sleeping with somebody and you're not married to them, that is a sin. I'm sorry. God would not have you sin. If you're doing something that you think, oh, you know what, God convinced me to do this. I know God told me to do this. Well, God would not lead you in to a sin. I'm convinced of that. And you look at the Ten Commandments. If there's any of them you're stepping over, if it's a false idol, if you're worshiping anything other than God, that wouldn't be from God. Unfortunately, we have an enemy, the liar, Satan, who can sound like maybe it's God. And we're convinced someone is telling me to do this. Well, one of the tests that we can put up is, you know what? God wouldn't lead me into sin. And we really need to be careful here when we say, God told me to do that. Well, you better be sure that that's God. Because the tempter is pretty crafty. So that's one place I think that we need to really make sure that if we're hearing from God, it's from His Word. There's a verse that He's speaking to me. And then I go to a brother or sister and say, you know, I read this in the Word and it seems to look like this. What do you think about it? Then a believer, a brother, a Christian that I confirm it. And they can say, yeah, that's what that says. You're reading that right? That's what God is teaching us in that Word. Or when I'm praying to Him, He reveals something in His Word. That would be hearing from God. Those are the ways we hear from God. Through God's Word, from other believers. I think we have to be really careful of the advice and counsel we get from people who don't know the Lord. We can get confused. There's a lot of people out there coming with a lot of different backgrounds trying to tell us things that they think are true. Well, show me that it's true. Show me that it's true. And if you're not a believer, I'm sorry, but I'm going to check it doubly hard to make sure it's in the Word. Why? Because there's freedom in God's Word, and I want to live in that freedom, and I want to be protected from lies. I want to make sure in my life that I'm hearing from God. Jesus answered in Matthew 4, it is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. We need God's Word, and we need the bread of life day in and day out. We do need to be hearing from God so that we know that we're in His will. But the only way that you can do that, you say, if God told me, well, show me in His Word how He told you. Because I don't think that it's going to be just kind of an audible boom. All right? Go to McDonald's and get a Big Mac. That's not the way God operates. He comes in a whisper. He'll come in His Word. He'll show you something through another believer. His Spirit lives inside us. If you're a believer, God lives inside you, and He can direct you and lead you and guide you, but He won't lead and direct and guide you to sin. His Word is perfect. There's not many things, if anything, probably nothing on this planet that is perfect except for the Bible. God's Word is perfect. As for God, His way is perfect. The Word of the Lord is flawless. He is a shield for all who take refuge in Him. And you can find this verse in several different places in the Bible. Every word of God is flawless. He's a shield and a refuge for all of us. Is it God forever and ever? I like this verse in Isaiah. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God stands forever. 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 The word of our God stands forever. It's the one thing in this life that you and I can hold on to forever. And there aren't many things that have that same claim. There aren't many things that are forever. But God is. He promises that we can be with Him for eternity, forever. Forever. We need to be gone with bigotry and begin to love others. Keep on loving each other, it says in Hebrews, as brothers. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by doing so, some people have entertained angels without even knowing it. You know, and I think often we are wired in our knee-jerk, in the way that God created us, that we would be prejudiced. Whether it be someone that's not like us, someone who has a different belief, someone who smaller than us, bigger than us, taller than us, wider than us. It seems like our temptation is to be prejudiced against them. Our temptation, my temptation in this culture, is to be prejudiced against the LDS church. And that's not what Jesus would do. He would speak truth. Seems like almost every conversation I get into people, whether it be LDS, Catholic, or Baptist, or evangelical, or whatever it may be, it comes back to the truth. God has told us, He has commanded us to love others. We cannot compromise. I'm not saying compromise. We believe there's one God. The LDS Church does not. So there's a difference there. There's doctrine. There's certain things that we will not compromise. I'm not saying compromise. I'm saying that we need to love others. And we need to share truth in love. No matter who it is. Whether it's a church that doesn't do things quite exactly the way we do. We need to love them. But the truth cannot be compromised and will not be compromised in this church. That's what we'll stand on. And that's anything that we ever come up against, and we will come up against a ton of different things. We'll just come back together as brothers and sisters, and we'll look and see what God is telling us, what the truth is about the atonement of blood, what the truth is. God gave us His Word to free us up so that we can know the truth, and the truth will set us free. And I'm so thankful for that. I like this quote by Catherine Booth. I don't have it on the screen, but I printed it off before I came here. Just a little story. Catherine Booth was the mother of the Salvation Army. Wherever Catherine Booth went, said G. Campbell Morgan, humanity went to hear her. Princes and peeresses merged with paupers and prostitutes. One night, Morgan shared in a meeting with Mrs. Booth, and a great crowd of publicans and sinners was there. Her message brought many to Christ. After the meeting, Morgan and Mrs. Booth went to be entertained at a fine home. And the lady of the manor said, "My dear Mrs. Booth, that meeting was dreadful." "What do you mean, dearie?" asked Mrs. Booth. "Oh, when you were speaking, I was looking at those people opposite to me. Their faces were so terrible, many of them. I don't think I shall sleep tonight." "Why, dearie, don't you know them?" Mrs. Booth asked. And the hostess replied, "Well, certainly not." "Well, that's interesting," Mrs. Booth said. "I did not bring them with me from London. They are your neighbors." I think easily we can get caught up into pointing at other people and at our neighbors, when really we have to figure out, is it me? Am I seeing truth here? Is it true what I'm hearing and seeing? And is it God? Is it God showing me this truth? Is it God directing me? Is it God? Is it you? Is it true? And is it God? We do not have to be bigots. God has freed us up from that. He gave us the truth. It is not hidden. Let's just pray together in the night. God, I just thank you that you have given us truth. I thank you that it's not hidden from us, God. And I just pray in our lives that you would show us the truth. You would lead us to it, God. And I just pray Father God, against bigotry from us, God, and from others. Father God, help us not to be prejudiced. Help us to love others the way you would. Father, that's a tall order. Father God, I pray that you would just teach us how to be your men and women, God. Thank you that you saved us and that you know us and that you will take care of us. Just pray for everyone that's here, God, and everyone that might even listen to this someday, God. I just pray that you would show yourself mighty in all of our lives. And I just pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.